Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already.
Have you ever listened intently to hear something because you knew it was important? I think we've all had a moment when we needed the noise of everything else to be silenced so that we could hear what was being said. What about when God speaks to us? When we stop and consider the opportunity we have to hear the voice of God and to know His power in our life, to forgive our sins and change who we are, it's truly amazing that He would speak to us. Even this morning, I trust that you will be able to stay with us for the first part of a message from Acts 22, considering the opportunity we have to see God and to hear His voice speaking to us. Here's Pastor Goine with today's message.
I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 22, and we're going to read, beginning in verse number 6, Paul is sharing his testimony. And he says, "It came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said," and this verse is our text verse this morning, "and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. I wonder how many of you grew up listening to Unshackled from Pacific Garden Mission. I have very fond memories growing up. Typically would come on the radio on Saturday evenings, and maybe it still does. And I enjoyed listening to those stories, how the gospel of Jesus can powerfully transform a life. But there's no conversion story more incredible to me than the story of the Apostle Paul. Here's a man, an enemy of the gospel, an enemy of God's church. He's seething with rage towards the Christians. He's on his way to persecute the Christians in Damascus. And suddenly he finds himself confronted with the brilliant, glorious presence of Christ himself. And it gets his attention. He's blinded. He has nowhere to run. He has nowhere to hide. He has an encounter with Jesus. And the impact of that event that day changed the course of his life. Ultimately, it changed the course of human history through his ministry. And the impact of Paul's encounter with God on the road to Damascus trickles all the way down to us here in this church building this morning as we hold in our hands a Bible that contains a number of books written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but by the hand of Paul. It's been said that after the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus, after the day of Pentecost, that the day when Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus is the next most significant event in all the New Testament. That divine encounter, that one day, won for Jesus and for his church one of the greatest preachers and writers, one of the most effective evangelists, missionaries, church planters that the church has ever known, the great apostle Paul. And in that moment, when Paul is surrounded by a brilliant light from heaven, understandably, he has some questions. I think you would too if you got stopped dead in your tracks like that. Acts chapter 2 tells us there were two questions that Paul asked that day. First, he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" That's in verse number 8. He wanted to know, "Who is this? Let's put a stop to my plans." And Jesus speaks. And when Paul hears his voice, his next question is, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And I think there's a real sense in which the entire Christian life can be summed up in those two questions. Who are you, Lord? And when we come to understand who Jesus is and we fall in love with him and we bow the knee to him, then the next question that just naturally flows is, "Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live?" I think that's a question we all should ask from time to time. "Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want to say to me? My ears are open. My heart is willing. I'm here. I'm waiting. I'm ready to hear, to receive your guidance." And so Paul, blinded by this brilliant light, is led by his companions into Damascus, and God sends a faithful Christian by the name of Ananias to Paul. And in verse 14, Ananias says some things to Paul that I want us to consider this morning. Notice what he said. He said, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee first that thou shouldest know his will." God wants you to know his will. And secondly, he said that you would see that just one. He's referring to Jesus. God wants us to see Jesus. He wants us to be in his presence. And thirdly, that you shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. God wants us to do his will. God wants us to see Jesus. And God wants us to hear his voice. "For when thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." When we have a fresh encounter with the living God and we hear his voice and we do his will, then our lives serve as a powerful witness to the world. Have you come to church this morning expecting to see Jesus? Have you come anticipating having an encounter with the living Lord? You know, it's amazing to me the clutter and junk that can collect in church pulpits. I was looking in our pulpit as I was sitting here on the platform, and it's relatively boring. I see Kleenexes and songbooks and a Bible, and I think there's a thank you note that we probably should have read a month ago. I'm not sure. Some bottles of oil. But I've seen all kinds of interesting things in church pulpits. Broken plastic church piggy banks, envelopes and pencils and pens from the birthday offering of 1982. I had a teacher in college who was said he was preaching in a church and found an old shoe, just one shoe, stuffed away in the pulpit. I once found a cassette tape of Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer in a church pulpit. Another time I preached in a church and there was this control panel. I kid you not, a control panel on this pulpit. You could push buttons and turn lights on and off, and you could flip a switch, and there was this door that would open, and the baptistry was behind it. Pretty incredible stuff. All kinds of stuff. You find clocks, and some pulpits even have a little sign on their pulpit. The service ends at 12 noon. Or when the red light goes on, you'll have just 2 minutes remaining. Some of you think that's a good idea. But one preacher told about going to a little church, and on the pulpit of that little chapel is a plaque that faces the preacher as he stands to address the congregation. And on that plaque are the words of John 12:21, just a short little bit of scripture, so very simple and yet so important. When the preachers step in the pulpit of that little chapel, they see this plaque. They're confronted with the words, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Amen. When we come to God's house, we would see Jesus. When I come into God's house and we begin to sing, we begin to join together in worship, and on those occasions when I have the privilege to hear someone else preach, my heart comes hungry and I come saying, crying out, I want to see Jesus. I believe that when men and women and boys and girls and teenagers come to the house of God for worship, we should come expecting to have a fresh encounter with the living Lord. It blesses my heart this morning to think that for every single need that's represented in this church building today, for every single need that will ever be carried into this sanctuary in Christ and in the wondrous, glories of the gospel of Jesus, we find all that is necessary to meet every single need. There will never be one need at the Lebanon God's Missionary Church, one single spiritual need that cannot be met by the provision that Jesus freely offers. Several years ago, I read a little book by Dr. David Gorduke, and it really impacted my thinking and even my approach to preaching. It was a little book that was called Getting Back to the Gospel. And in that book, he wrote this. He said, "Where is the power for any grace that comes to helpless humanity? It is in the power of God." And the Apostle Paul said, "That power is the gospel of Christ. All grace is available to those who believe the gospel of Christ. It is vain to seek any grace apart from faith in the gospel. It's an empty hope for preachers to urge people to higher spiritual ground based on effort, commitment, promises, discipline, memorization, meditation, or any other human pursuit. There is no power in any of these. The power for salvation, the power for growth as a Christian, for cleansing, for glory, is in God. And God has given us the gospel of Christ. That is the focus of our faith. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And no spiritual victory will be won through our simple human effort or human willpower. Any victory that's won in this church or any place will be accomplished through the power of Christ." And so we say this morning, we would see Jesus. Dr. Gorduke said this. He said sometimes, and I think he's right, he said sometimes it almost seems like we think we can bypass the simple gospel and go on to deeper truths. But there is no deeper truth than the reality that Jesus died for our sins, and He was buried, and He rose again, and we who were dead in our sins and trespasses can be brought to new life through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul said that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And I don't ever want to lose sight of the centrality of the gospel of Jesus, that in all things He might have preeminence. We need Jesus. We need him when we gather for worship. We need him every day. Do you recognize your need of Jesus? Sometimes in the morning I find myself almost absent-mindedly humming an old song. It doesn't get sung much anymore. I don't know if you remember it. It says, I need Jesus. My need I now confess. No friend like him in times of deep distress. I need Jesus. The need I gladly own. Though some may bear their load alone, yet I need Jesus. Do you recognize your need of him this morning? And the longer that I serve him, the more I realize how important it is to very intentionally keep my heart and my eyes focused on him, to keep my connection with him clear and strong. But sometimes our vision gets a little cloudy because of the cares of life until we lose sight of Jesus. And the reception gets a little spotty, and we need a fresh encounter with God to get our focus readjusted. That's what happened to Martha in the Gospels. You remember her? She was so busy tending to the guest in her house. All the while, Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, and Martha is stressed, and she's frustrated. Why is Mary sitting here? Well, there's all this work to be done. And Jesus looks at Mary sitting there at his feet. And he said, Mary, you're so lazy. Get up, get to the kitchen. Help your sister. Do you know the story? That's not what happened, is it? He didn't chastise Mary, but he gently said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. You're troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen the good part, that shall not be taken away from her. I found in my own life that when I begin to feel that inner tension, stress, maybe feelings of overwhelm, it's a good indicator that I need to carve out some extra time to sit at Jesus' feet and let him pour fresh grace and renewed peace into my life. Somebody said, some of us have had devotions, but we've not had much devotion. And there's a big difference. This writer said you can go through the motions of devotions. Reading your Bible, saying your prayers, without really seeing Jesus. You can be busy in all kinds of wonderful activities and lose sight of who it is that you're serving and what it is that you're trying to accomplish. And it results in weariness and stress and impatience. But when you get into the presence of Jesus and you give him a chance to minister to your heart, the world around you starts to look like a different place. When you come to him and you look full in his wonderful face and you get your eyes focused on him, you find grace for the deepest needs of your heart, grace you didn't even realize that you needed. There's something about getting into his presence that is calming and fortifying and gives you new perspective. I heard about two different men who went on a trip to the same place. And both of them came back and they were telling a friend about where they'd been. And one of them had nothing but negative things to say. He said, that place was awful. It was ugly, gray, gloomy, couldn't stand it. The other man came back. He said, it was beautiful beyond description, such a wonderful place. Everybody ought to go there. And you know what made the difference? The first man who went was a student. He'd just taken a major exam. And he was still waiting on getting the grade for his test. And so he went a little bit stressed. And everything was ugly to him. But the second man went there on his honeymoon. And everything looked different because he was there with the love of his life. And it changed his perspective. Oh, when we're in love with Jesus, when we're spending time with him, it changes our perspective on just about everything. And the amazing thing is, Jesus invites us to be with him. He wants us to look on his face and fellowship with him. He wants to give you daily strength and daily grace. He invites you to come into fellowship in his presence. Have you thought about all the times that Jesus invites us into his presence? Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He said, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. He saith unto them, follow me. He said, come, take up thy cross and follow me. In the book of Revelation, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him. We often think of that verse in the context of evangelism, Jesus standing at the door, the heart's door of a sinner, knocking, wanting to come in. And I don't think that's a misrepresentation, but if you look at the context of that passage, he's not speaking to sinners in Revelation 3:20. He's speaking to the church. And so the picture is Jesus standing outside the door of the church, and he's knocking, and he says, I want to come in. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to have communion with you. Are you looking for Jesus? Is your heart open to Jesus? He wants us to see him with the eyes of our heart, to be in his presence. But not only does God want us to see him, he wants us to hear his voice. Even in 2025, God still speaks. Do you know his voice? He speaks through his word. Sometimes he speaks through other people. He speaks through your conscience. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Paul heard God's voice. And Paul said, what do you want me to do, Lord? I'm listening. Would you give me direction? Would you give me guidance? And God will speak to you if you'll let him. Have you come? Not only have you come anticipating a fresh encounter with God, but I ask you this morning, have you come to God's house? Do you come week after week anticipating that you would hear the voice of God as he speaks to you? Are you tuned in to hear his voice? With all the technology we have today, we probably listen to the radio less and less. But do you still know how a radio works? If you have a radio, that radio has the capacity to pick up sound waves. And those sound waves carry voices and music through the atmosphere. But in order for your radio to pick up on those sound waves, you got to tune in to the right frequency. And I'm just old enough to remember that we used to talk about turning the radio dial. How long has it been since you've talked about turning the radio dial? And the radio personalities used to say, don't turn that dial, we'll be right back. They meant keep tuned in right here. And these days, we don't usually turn the dial. We push the button, we type in the frequency, we download the app. It doesn't matter how high-tech your radio might be, if you don't get tuned in to the right frequency, you won't hear the voices or the music. You'll hear static, or you'll tune in to the wrong station. You've got to be intentionally tuned in. And God has given you the capacity to tune in to hear his voice as he speaks. About 12 and a half years ago, our world changed forever when we welcomed a little boy named Jameson into the world. And when he was born, I learned a lot of things. I learned things about babies. I learned things about myself. I learned things about Jennifer. We brought this little baby home from the hospital, and it didn't matter what was happening, whether we were having a conversation on the complete opposite end of the house. It didn't matter if a vacuum cleaner was running. It didn't matter if an Apache helicopter had lowered and was hovering right over our house. If Jameson let out the slightest whimper, Jennifer, with her precision motherly instinct, would hear that whimper. I mean, this is a lady who has a verifiable medical hearing deficiency, only 30% hearing in one ear, and she uses that to her advantage, I think, sometimes with me. But she could hear that baby when he so much as moved his head. If I had to live with me, I'd want less than 30% hearing capacity, maybe. In fact, she could hear him when he wasn't making any noise at all. There'd be times we'd be sitting there and Jameson was in bed for the night, and all of a sudden she'd put up her hand. I'd say, "What is it?" And she'd say, "I thought I heard Jameson." Why was she like that? Because her motherly heart was tuned in, honed in to hear her baby. She was tuned in. And Jesus says to us, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Are you listening for the voice of God?
Amidst the hustling, clamoring world, sometimes it's hard to hear the voice of God speaking to my soul. But in my quiet time alone, when I approach His holy throne, His tender words fall gently on my ear. He still speaks. I know His voice. Sweeter sound never heard by mortal ears. And to think that God by His own choice would speak to me, it makes me rejoice. He still speaks. I know His voice.
There are so many who still doubt that God can speak today. They laugh and mock when we say we've heard from God. Then the still small voice of God is heard above the doubting of this world. It's time these words ring out with hope today.
He still speaks.
Listening to a message preached by Reverend Curtis Going, the senior pastor of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. My friend, if you have any questions about today's message, or you'd like to talk to someone about your relationship with God and where you stand before Him, we would be happy to talk with you. Please contact us by calling 717-273-3690 or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. Missionary Echoes is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for morning worship service, and 6 o'clock p.m. On Wednesday nights, we gather for a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock. We hope to see you in person, but if it's not possible, you can watch our services live online at lebanongmc.com. There you'll also find information on upcoming events and can even share prayer requests with us. My friend, we look forward to having you join us next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing.